Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new deep dive. We're always talking about work-life balance, but today we're going to zoom in on what that looks like, specifically for remote workers.
Especially those who are making that leap from more traditional jobs, right?
Exactly. We've got a ton of research and articles here.
Yeah.
And you mentioned being interested in Freelancing Insider.
Right.
So we'll definitely be keeping an eye out for any insights that might be relevant to, your freelance journey.
Awesome.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? Remote work promises all this freedom.
It does.
But then it's like there's this flip side, this whole other set of challenges that you don't really expect.
It really is a paradox in a way. You trade the traditional office setting for all this flexibility, but then the lines between work and life can get so blurry.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I was reading about how this could be a really tough adjustment for people coming from like blue-collar backgrounds.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like you're at the work site. You clock in, you clock out, work stays at work. But then suddenly your home is your office. And it's a whole different ballgame.
Think about it. You're used to that clear separation between work time and personal time. And now your home is your office.
Right.
So it can be really hard to like mentally switch off at the end of the day. Plus, we're in this digital age, right, where there's this constant pressure to be connected.
Always on.
Yeah, emails, messages, all these notifications. It's relentless.
And for someone coming from a job that's more hands-on, not as tech heavy, that digital buzz can feel like, whoa.
Absolutely.
It's a whole new world.
It's like learning a whole new language, almost a whole new way of working. And then there's the social aspect to consider blue collar jobs. A lot of times they involve a lot of teamwork, a lot of camaraderie, there's a real sense of community there.
Mm-hmm.
So transitioning to remote work can feel pretty isolating by comparison, especially if you're freelancing.
Yeah, you're trading one set of challenges for another. It makes you wonder, how do you create that sense of community when you're working remotely?
That is the question. And it's something we'll definitely dig into later when we talk about strategies. But first, I think we need to unpack another layer of this freedom paradox.
Okay.
And that's this pressure to be always on.
Oh, yeah. I've totally felt that.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss any opportunities. You don't want to seem unproductive. So you end up being glued to your computer.
Right.
Even when you should be taking a break.
Exactly. And it's like this fear of missing out almost. Like you constantly need to prove your worth by being available. And it's a slippery slope because it leads to overworked exhaustion and ultimately less productivity.
Yeah. And we can't forget about people with families trying to balance remote work with childcare, homeschooling, all that.
Yeah.
It's like a whole other level.
Oh, absolutely.
You're juggling so many different roles all in the same space.
It's like trying to run a marathon while juggling bowling pins. Wow. Something's bound to drop.
Right.
Without that traditional work structure, it becomes so much harder to create dedicated time for both work and family. The lines just get blurrier.
So we've got this constant connectivity, the potential for isolation, and the pressure to always be on. No wonder work-life balance can feel so elusive, especially for remote workers, especially freelancers who are, wearing all these different hats.
Right.
But here's the thing. There are so many people out there successfully navigating this whole remote work world.
Yeah.
So what's the secret?
Well, it's not magic, that's for sure. But the good news is a healthy work-life balance. It is possible, even with all these challenges. It just takes a conscious effort and the right strategies. And that's what we're going to explore next.
All right, let's dive into those strategies. Mm-hmm. What can our listeners start doing today to make this work for them, especially as a freelancer?
First and foremost, we need to talk about boundaries.
Boundaries.
Setting those clear boundaries between work and personal life is essential. And that's especially crucial for freelancers who might not have that traditional work structure to rely on.
So what does setting boundaries actually look like in practice when your office is, right there?
Think dedicated work hours, just like you had in a traditional job. Choose a start time and an end time, and as much as possible, stick to them.
Great.
This signals to your brain and to your clients that there are specific times when you are available for work and specific times when you are not.
I like that. Creating that separation, even when you're physically in the same space.
Right.
So no more checking emails at 10 p.m.
Ideally, no, unless it's a true emergency.
Right.
Resist that urge to check work emails or messages outside of your designated work hours. That downtime is so crucial for recharging and maintaining that healthy balance.
Okay, so setting those clear work hours, that's key. What else can we do to create those boundaries?
Another really helpful strategy is to create a designated workspace.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be anything fancy. It could be a desk in the corner of your living room, a separate room if you have the space, or even a local coffee shop if that works for you. The key is having a space that you associate with work.
I see.
This helps you mentally shift gears and get into work mode.
That makes sense. It's like a visual cue for your brain.
Yeah.
And I imagine this is especially important for freelancers who might be working from, you know, their kitchen table one day and then their couch the next.
Yeah.
Having that dedicated space helps create consistency.
Exactly. It's about creating that sense of structure and routine, even when you have the flexibility to work from anywhere. And speaking of flexibility, that brings us to another important point, communication.
Right, because even with set work hours, things come up.
Yeah.
How do you communicate your availability to clients in a way that respects your boundaries, but also makes sure you're being responsive?
Transparency is key. Be upfront with clients about your working hours and your preferred methods of communication. Let them know when they can expect a response from you and then stick to it.
Okay.
It's all about setting clear expectations from the start.
So we've got clear work hours, we've got a designated workspace, and we've got open communication. What else can help us build those crucial boundaries?
This one might seem simple, but it's surprisingly effective. Close your laptop and put your phone away at the end of the workday.
Really? That's simple.
It sounds silly, but it's a powerful visual cue. It signals to your brain that work is over and it's time to transition to personal time.
It's like creating a ritual, a clear separation between work mode and, you know, the rest of your life.
Exactly. It's all about sending those signals both to yourself and to the people you work with.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about setting boundaries, but I'm guessing that's just the beginning when it comes to achieving that work-life balance.
Yeah.
Right? What else should we be thinking about?
You're absolutely right. Boundaries are essential, but they're just the foundation.
Mm.
Next, we need to talk about self-care.
Self-care. Okay, now we're talking. But seriously, it's easy to let that slip when you're juggling all the things, especially as a freelancer.
Oh, it's so true. We tend to put it on the back burner, but it's crucial for our well-being, you know, both physical and mental.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that impacts our work.
Right.
It's not selfish. It's an investment.
So what does self-care look like in the context of remote work? What are some specific tips that can help our listener, you know, really prioritize their well-being?
It can be as simple as scheduling regular breaks throughout the day.
Okay.
Get up, stretch, step away from the computer, even for like 5 minutes. It helps to clear your head, prevent burnout.
And those breaks shouldn't just be about getting another cup of coffee, right?
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Use that time to do something that truly nourishes you. Maybe it's a quick meditation, a walk outside, listening to your favorite music, or reading a few pages of a book.
I like that. It's about intentionally shifting your focus, even if it's just for a little bit, to something that brings you joy, something that recharges you.
And speaking of recharging, one of the most important aspects of self-care is getting enough sleep.
Oh, yeah.
When you're well-rested, you're more focused, you're more productive, and you're just better equipped to handle the challenges of remote work.
So true. But it can be tough when your work life and your personal life are all happening in the same space.
Mm-hmm.
Any tips for, you know, establishing a good sleep routine when your office is just steps away from your bedroom?
One helpful strategy is to create a shutdown ritual before bed. This could involve dimming the lights, taking a warm bath, reading a book, listening to some calming music.
Okay.
It signals to your body that it's time to wind down and prepare for sleep.
I love that, creating that separation, even within your own home.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, one of the sources mentioned this website called flingerlove.com, which is all about, you know, intentionally disconnecting from technology. Have you heard of this?
I have. It's an interesting concept, this idea of putting aside our devices and focusing on meaningful connections, you know, both with ourselves and with others. I think it's especially relevant in the context of remote work, where we can so easily get sucked into that digital vortex.
It makes you think about the role of technology in our lives, right? It enables us to work remotely, but it also can create this constant feeling of being plugged in.
It's a double-edged sword, for sure. And that's why it's so important to be mindful of our technology use and set those boundaries that we talked about earlier. Disconnecting even for short periods can do wonders for our mental well-being and our ability to focus.
Okay, so we've got boundaries, we've got self-care, including that intentional disconnection from technology. What else is essential for, you know, really thriving in this remote work world, especially as a freelancer?
This one might surprise you, but it's crucial. Building a support network.
You mean like finding your people in the digital world? That's a great point. We talked earlier about how isolating remote work can be, especially when you're coming from a job with a strong sense of community. How do you go about creating that connection when you're working remotely, especially if you're, you know, flying solo as a freelancer?
It takes effort, but it's so worth it. Start by connecting with other remote workers online. There are tons of groups, forums, and communities dedicated to remote work and freelancing.
Social media can actually be a great tool for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Connecting with people who understand the unique joys and challenges of this lifestyle.
Absolutely. And don't underestimate the power of in-person connections. Look for co-working spaces in your area. These spaces offer a sense of community and a chance to interact with other professionals, even if you're not working for the same company.
It's like creating your own virtual water cooler, finding those opportunities to connect and share experiences with people who get it. Are there other ways to cultivate that support system?
Definitely. Think about your existing network friends, family, mentors. Even if they don't work remotely, they can still offer valuable support and encouragement. Sometimes just having someone to talk to who understands your challenges can make a world of difference.
It's about having those people who cheer you on, who you can bounce ideas off of, who you can call on when you need a pep talk. It's that sense of belonging that's so crucial for our well-being, no matter what kind of work we do.
Exactly. We're social creatures by nature, and that need for connection doesn't disappear just because we're working from home. In fact, it might even be more important to actively cultivate those connections in a remote setting.
So we've got boundaries, self-care, and a support network. I feel like we're building a pretty solid foundation for work-life balance here. What else should we be thinking about as we navigate this remote work world?
Here's a big one, and it's something that's often overlooked: embracing flexibility.
I was just thinking about that. That's the whole point of remote work, right? To have that freedom and flexibility. But how do you actually leverage that flexibility to create a work-life balance that truly works for you?
It starts with understanding your own rhythms and preferences. Are you a morning person or a night owl? Do you prefer to work in short bursts or longer stretches? What times of day are you most productive?
Those are great questions. It's about getting to know yourself, understanding your own work style and energy levels, and then using that knowledge to create a schedule that works for you, not against you.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to experiment. Maybe you work best in the morning, so you block off that time for focused work and schedule meetings or errands for the afternoons. Or maybe you need a break in the middle of the day to go for a run or spend time with your kids.
It's about designing your work day around your life, not the other way around. That's the beauty of remote work. It gives you that control.
And remember, flexibility goes beyond just your daily schedule. It's also about location. You can work from your home office, coffee shop, a co-working space, even a park if the weather's nice.
It's like having the world as your office. And that can be so liberating, especially if you're someone who thrives on change and variety.
Absolutely. Embrace that freedom and use it to create a work-life balance that feels both productive and fulfilling.
This is so inspiring. I'm feeling energized just thinking about all the possibilities. But I have to admit, sometimes the pressure to be perfect can get in the way. It's easy to get caught up in the comparison game, especially in the online world.
You've hit on a really important point. That pressure to be perfect is a real struggle for a lot of remote workers, especially freelancers who are often marketing themselves and their services online.
So how do we deal with that? How do we quiet that inner critic and find a sense of balance, even when it feels like everyone else has it all figured out?
It's a journey, that's for sure. But one of the most important things we can do is cultivate self-compassion.
Self-compassion. Tell me more about that. This is like something we could all use a little more of.
It's about treating ourselves with the same kindness and understanding that we would offer to a friend. It's about acknowledging that we're not perfect, that we're going to make mistakes, and that's okay.
It's about giving ourselves grace, especially on those days when we feel like we're falling short.
Exactly. And it's also about celebrating our wins, no matter how small they may seem. It's about recognizing our progress and giving ourselves credit for the effort we're putting in.
I love that. It's about focusing on the positive, even amidst the challenges. It's about choosing to see ourselves and our work through a lens of kindness and understanding.
And remember, comparison is the thief of joy. It's so easy to get caught up in comparing ourselves to others, especially online, where everyone's showcasing their highlight reel. But it's important to remember that we're all on our own unique journeys.
That's a great reminder.
Yeah.
It's about focusing on our own path, our own goals, and our own definition of success. It's about creating a work-life balance that feels authentic and fulfilling for us, not for anyone else.
And speaking of authenticity, one of the sources had this quote that really resonated with me. It said, "Freedom is not the absence of commitments, but the ability to choose and commit to what is best for you."
Whoa, that's powerful. It really is. It's like a reminder that true freedom comes from You know, aligning your actions with your values is about making those conscious choices about how we spend our time and energy, both in work and in life.
It's about taking ownership of our choices and creating a work life that really reflects what matters most to us. And that takes intentionality, especially in a remote work setting where those lines can get so blurred. We have to actively choose what we want to prioritize and build our work life around those priorities.
It's like designing your life from the inside out, figuring out what truly matters to you,
mm-hmm.
and then creating that structure that supports those values.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's a key ingredient in, you know, achieving that work-life balance that we're all striving for.
It's a continuous process for sure, but it's so worth the effort. When we create a work-life that feels aligned with our values, we're more likely to feel fulfilled, energized, and ultimately more successful in all areas of our lives.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of work-life balance for remote workers, what's the one big takeaway you want our listener to walk away with?
I'd say this: remote work has incredible potential, but it's not a magic bullet for work-life balance. It's a tool that needs to be used thoughtfully and intentionally. It requires effort planning and a willingness to experiment to find what works best for you.
It's about taking ownership of your remote work experience and creating a work-life that feels both fulfilling and sustainable. It's about setting those boundaries, prioritizing self-care, building that support network, embracing flexibility, and cultivating self-compassion.
And remember, you're not alone in this, Drewy. There's a whole community of remote workers out there navigating these same challenges and celebrating those same wins.
So to our listener out there, now that you've heard about the potential pitfalls and the solutions, we want to leave you with this. What one small change can you make today to start tipping the scales towards a better work-life balance?
It could be as simple as setting a hard stop time for work each day and sticking to it. No more emails. No more work calls after that designated time.
Or maybe it's scheduling 30 minutes of me time into your calendar every day. Even if it's just a walk, a quick meditation, or reading a few pages of a book.
Or maybe it's reaching out to another remote worker online or in person and just saying, hey, let's connect. Building those connections can make a world of difference.
The point is, even small steps can make a big difference. It's about progress, not perfection. And remember, you're not alone in this journey.
Absolutely. Keep learning, keep experimenting, keep reaching out, and most importantly, keep believing in the power of remote work to create a life that truly works for you. We'll be right here cheering you on. Until next time, keep diving deep.